Yeah, looky here, everybody. It's time to record the Minnesota Goodbye. And this week on the Minnesota Goodbye, we're going to talk about another podcast. Actually, not this week, but today. And I know a little bit about this podcast. It's called Call Her Daddy.
Yes.
So I'm going to tell you what I know about it.
Okay.
It's two girls that are beautiful, that are hot, that are young, 25 to 30-ish.
They're like 28, yeah.
And they talk about sex and they're dirty. And it's very progressive kind of thing because women aren't supposed to talk about things like that. But just like Jenny and Tina talk about some racy stuff on their podcast, they do it and people love it. I've never heard it. Did I get that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay.
So the reason we had talked about it is because they had basically a huge breakup about 6 months ago.
Now, it's two women. What are their names?
Alex and Sophia.
Alex and Sophia. Okay.
Yeah.
So they had a huge breakup. What happened?
Well, basically, they both were going in for more money. And to be fair, Barstool was making like $10 million because Barstool produces it.
Yep. Which is mostly sports, but they do a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah,
website.
I've heard of Barstool Sports.
Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they were making like $10 million a year off of their podcast, and they were making about $70,000 total off of what their of that $10 million, the girls were.
$70,000?
I mean, each, but
that's
still
nothing.
Barely anything to
but
that
they probably
$10 million.
Signed up early.
So they were in a contract, much like how radio people get in contracts. So basically, they came at Barstool and said, we want more money. We deserve more money. But then also Alex, the blonde, who you'd consider probably more of the host of it, she was asking for even more money because she does all the producing and editing of it. And she spends like 10 hours putting it together when it's all said and done.
Can I ask a question? It's not only a podcast, but there's a video. There's a lot.
There's
like
most podcasts now that are like, quote unquote, successful are video and audio.
So this one is visual.
And audio.
Because they're beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was just this whole thing that blew up, and there was all these agreements that were happening with Barstool. But basically, Sophia just said no, she doesn't agree with what they were doing, even though Barstool was offering them more money. And Alex was like, no, I am going to take the agreement, and I'm going to continue to work with them. And Sophia said, no, they're still screwing us. I'm not taking what their agreement was.
So now, she left.
Yeah, and the one thing to know about the second girl, Sophia, the brown-haired girl, is that her boyfriend was up until recently, was the president of HBO Sports, a Harvard grad in business and all this kind of stuff. And the people at Barstool, like the main guy who's kind of honestly like the Ed McMahon of sports.
I don't know, that's an old reference. Who's that?
Not Ed McMahon. I'm sorry. What's the WWE guy?
Jim McMahon.
Leader sorry.
Of the whole thing, right?
Yeah, who's like basically a heel on purpose. That's what kind of the guy from Barstool is like. He's a bit of a heel.
Yeah.
So HBO had done a number of basically things saying that Barstool sucks and Barstool has is sexist, and there was all these exposés. So this guy from Barstool, who had been giving the girls more and more money, was kind of saying, I think the second girl, Sophia, is being difficult because of her boyfriend, who's the president of HBO Sports, who's
sense.
Out to get
now
me.
Now it's getting a little convoluted.
I know, that's why, but I want to make sure, because that's an important part of it.
Well, it is. So that was a big issue, saying that they called him Suit Man, the girl's boyfriend, that Suit Man was causing Sophia to not make the decisions for herself. And so that's why Sophia wouldn't take this new agreement with Barstool and then leaving Barstool altogether. So anyways, Alex the blonde started doing the podcast by herself and just took the agreement that Barstool gave her. She was making way more money and still not probably enough, but she also signed a contract and they were willing to work with her even though she was still in contract.
Okay.
So she still does the podcast called Call Her Daddy. Sophia went MIA for like 6 months and she finally just came out with her podcast, a new one, and basically explained that Alex has someone write all of her content, had a script. So even though Alex was doing more work, she didn't deserve a ton more money than Sophia because Sophia came with just all this creativity on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alex apparently has screwed everyone along the way to her success that has helped her, including Sophia. And the only reason I've gotten so into it is just because I thought it was a bunch of catty girl drama. But Sophia brought on one of the main characters that they used to talk about on Call Her Daddy, and he also said that Alex royally screwed him, and he was providing all this content. And when you listen to Call Her Daddy now with just Alex and sometimes guests, it's not very good. And it's like she did lose the people who wrote her content if she was not doing her own content.
Interesting.
So I didn't want to believe Sophia because I had always liked Alex more, but her podcast isn't as good anymore, in my opinion. I still don't know who to believe. There's obviously like the truth somewhere in between the two. But it's just been interesting to follow along just because we work in radio and we deal with contracts and we all do podcasts and stuff. And you always, sometimes you feel like you might do more work than someone else. So then you like want to side with Alex. But then when you have someone else coming in explaining her side of things, you're like, oh, but she makes good points. So I've gotten real wrapped up in it. And it's been interesting to me. I don't know how other people feel. I've talked to a couple friends who listen and they've kind of agreed that they thought that they were going to hate Sophia and her new podcast. But now hearing her side of things, they were like, well, she has a point to a lot of things.
I don't want to interrupt your story at all.
That's pretty much the end of it.
Because I have some observations because we're not in podcasting, but we're in, you know, the big brother of that is radio. Because I think that, you know, if there was no podcasting is awesome and I love podcasting, but it's like radio without the commercials and music. So it is a big relative of radio. And I see the same thing in radio for years. Couple of observations. I've been doing radio for 40 years, 40, more than 40 years now, almost 41. And I didn't meet my first assholes or divas, and the sex doesn't matter. So I didn't meet my first assholes or divas until, I don't know, a few years into it when you do more than just give the weather and you know give away the request line number, whatever. That's when you start being a personality. And then I started to meet the divas. And I don't want to get too specific because this person might recognize themselves, but they were a horrible person. Everybody on the staff was abused by this person. Management was abused by this person. And they knew they could get away with it because they were the radio station. And so they abused and abused their position, knowing they could never get fired and treated everybody like shit. This person eventually got bounced around because karma catches up and your reputation catches up. And they eventually got bounced around and they're not really in the business anymore. But it really drove everybody crazy that this person was like, oh, you're so wonderful. And it's like, no, he's a real asshole. So there are people like that in radio. And another observation, there's so many radio shows that don't get along. I mean, we get along. Mm-hmm. We get on each other's nerves here and there for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like any couples or any coworkers. But there are some couples that, I mean, there was a big radio show recently. And again, I can't give any details. But apparently they hated it. They were so successful, but they hated each other so bad, they broke up.
Yeah.
And
which is crazy
show,
to me.
Neither show is as good without them together. You know what I'm talking about,
I know what you're
right?
talking about. Because that's the kind of thing where it's interesting because everyone, you're going to have a group project, and there's always going to be one person that's like the pain in the ass one or one person that's controlling. I mean, that's just what this is. But what's crazy to me is that where you can have something that's super successful, so going back to like even the caller daddy things, and then you can be so, I mean, I don't know if they liked each other in real life or not, like taking all the business work things out of it, but then you can blow it up.
They did it one time.
They probably
did it one time.
The caller daddy girls were roommates. They were friends. Yes.
So they were friends, but it's just, that's what's wild to me is that if you work together and you build something and you do something together, and then you can learn to hate each other so much.
Well, think about bands. I mean, think about bands.
Oh, that's good. That's a good point.
There's usually in radio and probably in music too, there's the person who gets all the visibility and all the credit, and there's the person who does all the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet that causes a lot of friction. I think in U2, just going back to classic rock, U2, Bono gets all the attention.
Oh, yeah.
Bono's not the founder of that band. I don't even know that he writes all the songs. I don't know who does. But a lot of bands, they get really pissed because somebody behind, like, you know, the bass player doesn't get all the glory. He's the one or she's the one who does all the work, writes the songs, form the band. But the pretty lead singer is the one who gets all the credit.
Maroon 5 is another example. You don't know anyone else in Maroon 5. U2, Edge.
Right. But with Maroon 5, you know that Adam Levine does probably all the writing because all the songs sound like Adam Levine's writing, I think. Here's one for you, but I've noticed this too. It's the creative ones, the one that create the stuff that last. I'll go way back. Do you know who Simon and Garfunkel are, Jenny?
Yeah.
Okay, all those beautiful songs were sung mostly by Art Garfunkel, who couldn't write a song to save his life.
Oh, really?
But Paul Simon wrote beautiful songs. I mean, everything from The Boxer to Mrs. Robinson, all those beautiful old songs. And he didn't get as much credit because Art Garfunkel was the singer, had the beautiful voice. So they broke up. They hated each other because they were tired of one get the credit and one thought he deserved the credit. I'll give you another example that goes back even more obscure. The guy who sang Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, okay? Gordon Lightfoot, okay. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
I only know that song because of you guys.
Yep. There was when he was in high school and him and his buddy had a little duo. The guy, Gordon Lightfoot, who wrote that song, he wrote all their songs. The other guy, he couldn't write anything. He wasn't a songwriter. He could sing. But his friend's dad was their manager. So he wanted them to have 50-50 on everything forever for the rest of their life. And Gordon Lightfoot, the talented songwriter, he said, fuck you. I'm not going to sign a 50-50 contract. I do this on my own. So the other kid faded into obscurity, opened up a dry cleaner, God knows who what.
That's neat.
Did what. And then Gordon Lightfoot went on to become this like legendary singer.
Yeah.
But then
so I think it's the people who have the creativity and the talent that last, and it's the ones who put up the pretty front that don't last for very long.
But couldn't you say that like then there's the opposite of like Elton John, who has like that guy that basically writes. Which part does he write? Does he write the words or the music?
Bernie Taupin writes the words, gives them to Elton John, and then Elton John writes the music.
Okay, so
they're a partnership.
But you're
right. They work out perfectly.
They do.
Both acknowledge each other.
But it's the same. It's the same thing as all the other. Like same thing. Coldplay has like a they call him like the fifth member or the sixth member of Coldplay, and he's like someone that went to college with the main lead singer of Coldplay. And he's like the creative director. You've never seen him before. He's like he was the manager for a little bit, but he's basically responsible for the aesthetic of the band. You've never, I mean, and obviously he's paid handsomely, so he's cool with it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like,
but it'd be like if that guy started taking credit for Coldplay. It's like, well, wait a second, Chris Martin writes the songs. So,
but for that, they're all
the
responsible. It sounds like how they do
I think Chris Martin writes most of the songs.
Yeah,
I'm not
I don't
sure.
know.
But it'd be kind of like the drummer getting annoyed. But I think the drummer in Coldplay probably knows his place. It's like, fuck, I'm glad to be here on stage and I'm making money in a band where Chris Martin writes all the songs. I'll back that up and I'll make a tenth of what Chris Martin does. Just like the guys in Maroon 5 probably make a tenth or less than what Adam Levine makes, and they're probably happy to do it.
See, that's what
they
always
can't write songs.
See, that's what I've always wondered. Is so okay. Maroon 5 is a great example, but like I know that there's the Dave Matthews Band, one that I love, or any band where it's like the name of the person band.
Yeah,
they could all for the people that have been there for since day one, they are just as much of like a responsible for the success of it. Because for example, Prince wrote like everything, right?
Yeah.
Where Dave Matthews, like he jokes that he's a horrible guitar player, but he's a brilliant lyricist. And I've always wondered, it's like Dave Matthews, it's his name of the band, he put it together. He deserves to have more than the other ones. But then how much more is A, fair, and B, it's like, because the drummer in Dave Matthews Band is one of my favorite drummers. He's half the reason that I go to the shows and half the things that I listen for.
Okay.
Now, that's not true for Maroon 5. Maroon 5, I don't care what the drummer sounds like. I don't care what some of the other people sound like. So it's interesting how they like split up.
Well, I think sometimes there are more important people, and that's when Dave Matthews will be like, you are a big contributor to the band. I'm going to pay you a lot. Whereas if you're not that big a contributor, you're an average drummer, guess what? You wanted like a 100% raise? I'm sorry. You can show yourself out.
So like Beatles, how did they split it up? That's what I'd love to know.
I think it was split four ways, honestly, but I don't know. But I think that John Lennon, Paul McCartney, who wrote all their songs,
they're the thing.
They were the ones who got the bulk of the songwriting. I have no idea. So let's go back to Barstool Sports. So do you think less now of Alex, and you think that she's kind of a diva, kind of a bully because she is doing this, and then maybe Sophia now comes across as the more sincere one?
Yeah, I mean, they're both just like very beautiful women who have benefited from that, and I hate to say that being a female myself because they have talent as well. But now with Sophia calling Alex out, it just feels like Alex has stepped on like everyone that has helped her climb that ladder of where she's at right now, and she just like buried everyone along the way is what it sounds like to me. So that's where I don't feel like I'm as big of a fan of Alex as I was before when I was more siding with her because it sounded like she did so much more work. But now Sophia is just like giving out the facts that like people helped her get where she is. Alex burned everyone to get where she is now that did help her. And now she's trying to do it on her own. And like I said, I don't think it's as good anymore. So I can see where Sophia's facts do make sense.
Well, that goes back to the radio show that broke up that they were so good together, and now they're broken up and they're not nearly as good on their own. As a matter of fact, I have a friend who ran one of their shows after they broke up, and he canceled it because it wasn't as good. But I also think that when you take, I don't know what these two girls did before, whether they were...
That one worked in, like, finance. Okay. They both had, like, kind of the 9-to-5 jobs living in New York, and they were both miserable.
But, that like, the one, the blonde one, like, was really into making videos and YouTube and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, being a YouTuber early on. So, it's possible.
Well, I think that when you take anybody who's all of a sudden making a lot of money, they have a lot of power, and they have fame, and they have a fan base, I think that goes to a lot of people's heads.
Yeah.
And I've seen it in radio. It's like... You go from being an average person to making a lot of money, having a lot of fame, having a lot of followers, and now you think you own the world. And it's like, that's not always a pretty face to present that the people who you work with.
Right.
And I think that that probably happened with them. If they were in finance or whatever and they hated it, and now they're making $70,000 is good money. But it's not life-changing money. I mean, you know, $2 million.
It's not a ton in New York.
It's not a lot of money.
It's nothing.
It's nothing in New York.
It's nothing. I don't even think you'd live on that in New
York. I don't think you could. Yeah. You'd have to, like, you couldn't live in Manhattan for sure.
Yeah, the only thing I'll leave it with is that you talk about, like, these people getting kind of big heads and stuff when, like, the fame comes along with what they're doing. Listening to Sophia now, her first two episodes she's put out, she seems so much more humbled after everything that she's gone through, because she was so bullied.
People turned on her.
Like, so turned on her. And now she's reevaluating everything she does. Like, she doesn't want to talk about her personal relationships anymore, which was what Call Her Daddy was about, was all this sex talk and everything that they were doing with, like, these men they were with. And she, you can just tell that she was humbled almost, and she's a little more down to earth. And so maybe that's why I'm believing her more now.
And so sometimes I think it takes that. I think that some... You know, my story is not nearly that dramatic, but I got my first radio job when I was 21 years old, my first morning show radio job, and I didn't know how to handle being, like, you know, like, successful, and I was making $30,000 a year, so I was loaded.
No, you're balling.
Yeah.
I was balling, and I had money left over for pizza and movies. It was so cool.
Whoa.
And then I thought I was so cool that I went to Columbus, Ohio, and worked at a station out there that nobody gave a shit about. And it was so humbling, and people hated the show.
It was a smack in the face. You're like, you went from, like, top of the world to who the fuck are you?
And it was really humbling. It was really good for me, because then I realized, oh, I can't take any of that for granted. But I was an asshole in Las Vegas. I thought I was, like, really, really cool, because I was making big money, and I was famous, and I was 21, and I was on the radio. So it's, sometimes those experiences are good for them. So really interesting. Our podcast is called The Minnesota Goodbye. That podcast is called Call Her Daddy.
Yep.
Okay. You can write to ours. I don't know if you can write to theirs or not, but you can write to ours at ryanshow@kdwb.com. Interesting on the topic on the podcast. If you got anything you want us to bring up or any thoughts on that, let us know. ryanshow@kdwb.com. And that is The Minnesota Goodbye.